And this is your ticket, it's got your name on it. So you're the lucky winner. But Joe Kircher arrived in the Matanuska Valley, I don't say 100 years before the Colony Project in 1935. I beg your pardon. Your Honor. Hold it up for everyone to see. But as I was saying, Joe Kircher arrived in the Matanuska Valley long before the Colony Project created by the Roosevelt administration was created in 1935. He probably arrived there in about 1915 or 16, along with the Alaska Railroad. And he homesteaded in the valley, and he's still in the Matanuska Valley today. A very highly respected citizen. Joe, I congratulate you. Okay, we have one more drawing. Benefit raffle. Good for $100. The container is just full of $100 contributions. Someone, though, is going to have a $100 pocket money. And now that Palmer has taken a pie, maybe someone from South East might be lucky enough for the $100. Each and every one of us could use an extra $100 after this wonderful convention. But right now, again, Axel, I'm not going to ask you this time, out of dignity and so on, but honorary for your wife, I would like your wife to stand and make the drawing for the $100. Grace, would you please make one drawing, blindfolded. And again, to the Honorable Ted Stevens, if you will. Read the number. It's 1003, and it's Gossin.
The ticket number is 1003, and it looks like Art Gossin. Is he in the house? Ticket number 1003? No, it's not here.
The $100 is still his, so we'll turn this over to the proper authorities, and by claim number, he will have on 1003 his $100. Would you like it? I'm told that he's the superintendent of the construction at the Pioneer Home. Where? At Sitka? Thank you. That ends the drawing. Thanks for your contribution, your generosity, and sometimes I'd like to say your generosity is only exceeded by your good looks. Thank you.
All right.
How are we on the eating project? Looks like we're pretty well through over on this side. We're still eating over here. We can take a few minutes if you'd like, so let's pause for just a moment, give you a chance to eat your food, and then we'll come back. Thank you.
And then Mike Dalton, you know, they take a trip every year to up to the barrel.
Short on
that table already?
This side's drinking pretty heavy.
That Axel is doing all right. Axel, they're holding the fort on this end of the table, huh?
Yeah.
You've emptied one jug already.
No, only enough. Something else.
Another drink, and I'm not sure I'll make you speak.
Okay, I think I'll get started. I think about 30 minutes, and move up to 25 or 30.
Right, right.
How much? It'll be too late.
An hour. I'm fine. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hour has arrived. We must now commence our evening program. As I mentioned previously, we are on a time schedule, time limitation, unfortunately. And in the interest of that, we will proceed. Hope that we will not interrupt those that are already trying to finish a meal. But with your patience and deliverance, we will continue with our evening program and give you the best of the ability at this front table. I'd like to address the various dignitaries. I give mention first to our Honorable Ted Stevens, United States Senator for Alaska, John Dapsovich, Mayor of the beautiful city of Sitka by the Sea, Hans Waldenhog, the President of Sitka Igloo number 22, I'd like to recognize also Lillian Bart, who is the president of the Auxiliary of Sitka Quail, who have been our convention hosts, and the one and only, the truly distinguished, unpolished, unspoiled Alaskan from the gold beaches and the gold sands of Nome, our new Grand Igloo president, Axel Edmund. We salute you. Our most recent past Grand President, Patrick Lloyd from Ketchikan. And on the head table, right to left, a past, our illustrious array of past Grand Presidents, the pioneers of Alaska, scattered from throughout the territory and the state. I give you past Grand Presidents. We also address their respective igloos and the auxiliaries, their presidents, the delegates at large, the igloo and auxiliary members, their husbands and the wives, sweethearts and lovers, our lady pioneers and their companions, those strong, stalwart, courageous, stampeders of the modern age and of modern vintage, our current pioneers. Ladies and gentlemen, and pioneers all, this evening we bring you an array of notable talents gathered at the speaker's table and on this podium for the purpose of paying respect and homage and honor and appreciation for the events of this magnificent convention held in this fair city of Sitka, marking the 58th session of the Grand Igloo, Grand Order of the Pioneers of Alaska. For this moment, I am chairing and accepting this assignment on behalf of His Honor, the Honorable Senator Howard Bradshaw, who was ordained and designated to take this slot. And at this time, I give him my sincere appreciation for affording me and asking me or this presentation in his behalf. And in so doing, I become reminded of the immigrant who came from Sweden and came to America to make his fortune. And arriving in America, he started, as most of us do, with little or nothing. But over a period of 20 years, he built up what would be classed as a vast fortune. He made his $1 million. And having made his $1 million, he decided that it was time for him to leave America and go back to Sweden and enjoy the fruits of his labor. And so, during the evening festivities, he was called upon for a few remarks. And in so doing, he got up and stood before the assembly and the gathering with appreciation and homage in his heart. And he says, "Yes, you know, for 20 years I've been in America. And this is a splendid, auspicious occasion." And he says, "You know, it took me 20 years in the construction business and making my $1 million. How to say jobben instead of jobben. And by gosh, you know, after 20 years, they changed the name to Project." Well, that's a pretty tough go, because a project like this tonight, and assigned by Senator Bradshaw, and in these last few hours of putting together, has been a little bit of a task, but I'm sure as pioneers and others that we can fill the gap in whatever is left out or whatever is left to do. So this is my first for me, and I hope in Bradshaw's behalf that it'll serve him with dignity and honor. Bradshaw, would you please rise? Let's give him a standing hand. Bradshaw. There we are. I think maybe over the years, having known Brad so personally and having some of the accomplishments of the past come to fruit over these past many years, that we have seen some growth in this great land of Alaska, from the territorial days to the present. And Brad, it's been my pleasure to work with you and in the behalf of some of these projects that have come to light and come to a full blossom for the state of Alaska. Give Brad a big hand again. Okay. I know that we have heard a number of times over the convention from, excuse me, sir, something.
I'll call you to the rostrum.
Okay, if I can remember that. Where was I? I'm going to ask at this time, we've asked and we've heard from him on a number of times during the convention, and especially today on his installation as Grand President. But at this time, for the assembly and before our departures, I would like again to ask on behalf of the front table for the words of wisdom and a few words of consolation, if it were maybe, from Axel Edmund. Axel, our Grand President, will you please rise and come to the rostrum for us?
Thank each and every one of you pioneers. You know, somebody told me today, "Axel, don't make a speech tonight. You always said too much during this convention." I said, especially my wife, she said, "Oh, you talk and talk all the time." Now, I only have one little thing. I would say that my wife, Grace, you know, would you stand, Grace?
That's
See? She's the greatest person I ever known. Of course, we've been married, what, 8 or 9 years now? Anyway, we've been married for quite a while. But I want to tell you something what happened this morning in the bathroom up at the... don't start laughing. We're living...
Step up the mic, actually.
We're living up at the Potlatch. And you know, the Potlatch is a wonderful place. So I took a shower this morning and I told Grace, I said, "No, Grace, everything is beautiful in this place, but my God, they got some awful rough towels." So she says, "Actually, you picked up the bad map from the floor of the bathroom." So that's what I used for a towel. Now, I'm only gonna take one more minute. As I said before, I would like to compliment Igloo number 22 and Igloo number 12, by auxiliary number 12, for the wonderful convention and I hope that we can meet the same qualification at our convention in 1975. Now, thank you.
We're going to call at this time on some old-time Alaskans I've known personally for so many years. In Anchorage, Alaska, over the years, in fact, the wife of this gentleman was a little girl that would come into my grocery store with her parents, and they helped keep me in business for a good many years. And I give you tonight Bill Race, our first vice president. Bill Race.
This is really quite a surprise. I was just complimenting Axel on this performance this evening and telling him what a hard job it was going to be to try to follow his act. So it caught me sort of flat-footed. But I will say we certainly enjoyed the convention, and I'm sure next year will be the same. And I'm worried about the following year. Thank you.
I don't know yet.
Bill Race did not introduce his wife, but Maxine, would you please rise and take a bow, please? Our dear, sweet Maxine. Great little girl. Thanks, Maxine. Our next over on my left is a gentleman that needs no introduction, and his wife, I'm sure, also. But Pat Lloyd, we're going to ask you to come up and give a few words. I know you've had a wonderful, great year. We've all enjoyed your inspiration and your generosity and your attendance at our igloos. And at this time, I know that we accept with great humility the fact that you have left the rostrum as a president, but you are one of our past grands, and we respect and we honor and we love you. Come forward, please, Pat Lloyd.
Thank you, Louis, I think. And I think you've all heard enough from me for a little while, so I won't say much. But I do appreciate this. It's been a wonderful convention for me. And I thank you, and God bless you all.
Pat, now, did I miss the introduction of your wife also? Irene, would you please rise? Take a little bow. I hope when it comes to my turn that I don't forget. I'll hear about it. For those that don't know my wife, she's a mean one. Got a wife. But we're going to get down now to a gentleman that's done a lot of work on this convention. And I think that most of us know him very personally. Brother Dyer, will you please, Bob, come forward, make your remarks, and introduce your wife, would you please?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here. And my wife does all the talking in our family. My wife, Violet. We sure appreciate the hospitality that we've received in Sitka. Thank you.
Now at this moment, a little confusion before the banquet began. But this gentleman took care of everything so graciously, placed everything in order, and as you see at the head table, it's just immaculate. He and his wife prepared the front table and the placemats, name tags, and got everybody in their place. I give you now Grant Nelson, and Grant, forward, please.
Well, I didn't expect this one, but I hope everybody enjoyed themselves. I hope you can talk about Sitka's convention next time. Thank you for coming.
Okay, we've got two in a row. Mrs. Nelson. Was Mrs. Nelson introduced?
And Mrs. Dyer.
And Mrs. Dyer. Mrs. Dyer, were you introduced? Fine, okay, if we got everything at this side of the head table, we'll come to you later, Your Honor. At the far end, to my right, is our Grand Chaplain, has served this order with dignity during the course of this last year, is a great farmer in the Matanuska Valley, providing some of the fresh vegetables that were served during the course of this convention down here in Sitka. And I give you Brother Bill Hoskins. Brother Bill? Bill Hoskins seems to be a little reluctant, very modest, very quiet, but a great gentleman. You'll get to know him. Thank you very much. Jan, now, Brother Hoffman, are you ready? Will you please rise and come forward and do your little part? Come forward, my good man. And don't forget.
Well, thank you very kindly. After that installation today, I'm still a little bit bewildered. And it's going to take some time to catch up with the going on there. But I'd like to introduce my wife, Betty. Thank you very kindly.
I have a lot of admiration and respect for our next young lady who hardly needs an introduction to this able group of people, to our AGOs, to our auxiliaries. We've reminisced a little over this convention of the old days back in Anchorage when we were down in the gravel streets, no street lights, no sidewalks, hardly anything. In fact, we had no traffic lights, a few cars, and this lady and I spoke of some of those days during the period of this convention. I give you Vera Simons, our reporter.
Thank you very much, Louis. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Igloo 22 and Auxiliary 12 for such a beautiful, beautiful convention. I don't think that I'll ever quit talking about what a great, wonderful time I had. Where else could I have gone as a flapper?
When it comes to transportation in our part of the country, we have several that we look forward to working with, but none finer than the gentleman which is about next to be introduced. When it came time for this convention and for Alaska West to make arrangements to come to Sitka for this magnificent convention, we worked with him, and it was through him that we have his ship, his crew, and a beautiful, wonderful group of 85 passengers attending this convention. I give you our one and only, our great Bob Hansen. Bob.
Thank you, Master of Ceremonies, Louis, and we're welcome to have our Senator Ted Stevens here with us tonight, and honor and Axel Edmonds from Nome, our incoming Grand President, who worked for my dad back about 40 years ago, and his charming wife, Grace, and all the other installed officers here today. It gives me great pleasure to be here tonight, and I'm sorry my wife wasn't able to attend because of she got that one-day flu or whatever you call it, the last minute. But we're going to enjoy some of the sandwiches she made again tonight because we froze them as soon as we got here so we could have them later for those who get hungry after this banquet. I don't know whether they'll be eaten or not because this was a grand feat here tonight. Sitka really turned out, and I'm very appreciative of all the work that's gone forth to put this thing on. And I hope that Axel and his wife Grace will...
Pardon me, I'd like to make a correction. It was 50 years ago instead of 40. How about your dad?
Be able to not shudder too bad about what was presented here today and so forth because they got a rough road to hoe, but I'm sure they can make it because he's still here after 40 years after working with my dad, and he was a real bearcat to work for. Because I had to work in the drift, picking several wheelbarrow, and that's where I am today. Because of my dad's said that you always give a guy 8 hours pay, I mean 8 hours work for 8 hours pay, and give him a little more because it don't cost you nothing. And I'll always remember that. And
it was cheap pay, 50 cents an hour.
That's right, folks. Believe it or not, that was the price them days. And the people today can't believe that. And you can't find people that are going to work in the Drift today. No place. But it's a great pleasure to be here, and we're going to see y'all in Nome in 75.
He is absolutely so right. Don't forget Nome in 75, because Axel Edmond and that group up there is certainly going to put on something for all of us Alaskans. Our next is our very dear and most respected and highly honored secretary. She's performed with such diligence and efficiency, words just can't describe how much we think of this young lady. She is young because she's got the spirit, she's got the drive. And when the things have to be done, she knows how to get them done, and she knows where to find that they get done. When you contact her office by telephone or by letter, it's immediate. And I give you now our very dear Vida Rich.
I went over town three times last week. I went to the post office thinking I might get more delegate lists. Hell no. They weren't in the post office. And Vera and I have to write in these names, you know, like 26 doggone names in there. Well, that takes a lot of time, you know. So, okay. As I say, I am tired of begging for delegate lists, your annual reports, all this stuff. No more. No more. No more. But I have enjoyed being Grand Secretary. And you know, up until last year, we got $100 a quarter. That was 13 cents a day. So Axel, our new grand president, upped our salary $100. So now I get 26 cents a day. And I think I'm overpaid.
You know, raised Vida's pay from $400 a year to $800. She was making 13 cents a day. Or
13 cents?
Yeah. Now you're making 26 cents a day. What are you talking about? Isn't that pretty good?
And you know, boy,
now she's,
I can really go out on the town.
Now she's playing on the sympathy
zone. You know, every Saturday night I go out on the town. 26.
Now she's asking for 50 cents a day. You're a doll.
And I do thank you for that extra 13 cents.
I'm certain that we all got that message. And each and every igloo, each and every auxiliary, will take this home and bury it in mine.
And this next year, next convention time, because I realize the work that goes into their efforts. And having worked and been assigned this time the credentials committee work, and working with Vera and with Vida, I know just exactly what they mean. The preparations for the credentials should be well advanced to the registration of the convention. So each and of you, each and every one, take it back home and seriously. Do your utmost this next year to have a complete, valid, full report prior to convention. I'm looking at a couple, long well-known, long Alaskans. They're always dignified. They're always with prestige and esteem. They have a way that makes you know them immediately. They're always well-groomed, well-mannered, and they have a tremendous, valid respect for this great order. I give you now the Clintons. Bob Clinton, will you please come to the rostrum, address the chair, and I know what you do. Thank you.
After that introduction, I hardly know what to say. But I would like to say this to the people assembled here, my brother and sister pioneers. We in Valdez are looking forward to that day when we can have a convention in Valdez. We haven't had a convention of the Grand Igloo in Valdez since the middle 20s. Right now, we're in the throes of our pipeline impact. We have no room. We're looking forward to the day when we will have that room, and I can stand up at a convention and say, next year, the convention will be in Valdez. At that time, we'll be very happy to welcome all of you. I'd like at this time to introduce my wife, Dorothy. She's been a great time. She's taken a grand part in our igloo and auxiliary business in Valdez, and I feel that it's due in great part to her that we are able to keep our igloo and auxiliary going. Thank you.
Checking the watch, we have exactly 40 minutes left, so I'll cut this last introduction quite short. I have a few more items on the agenda, but we would like to finish a little prior to 9:30 so that we that are departing can be out in the foyer and on that bus by 9:30. I'd like to mention or introduce to you my wife, Estella, but before I do, a few remarks, because I think it's quite in order. You know, I don't know if it's safe to say this, I've said it before, but years and years ago, and after I came to Alaska, I went up into the Matanuska Valley when that colony project was in full bloom. Had just started, in fact, it started in May. I got up there very, very early in June, made one trip in May, decided I wasn't going to go back, but went back up there in June to seek a job in the storage department for the Matanuska Valley Colony Project. This girl's father, Estella's father, was the first general manager of the project. He'd been called back to Washington by Franklin D. Roosevelt and laid out the colony project, which started in May of 1935. So, when I got into the valley in June of 35, I went into Mr. Irwin's office, which was a 16 by 20 tent. There was nothing but tents up there in those days. And the wall was kind of divided. Halfway down was a wall across, and you could hear everything that went on one side or the other. And the fellow that had gone in there just before me, or about two applicants before me, was looking for a job and says, I'm a carpenter. Mr. Irwin says, we have all the carpenters we need. What we're looking for is plumbers. So the next gentleman, as many of you Alaskans from Anchorage know, was Tex Noy. And Tex Noy was just ahead of me. And he went into Mr. Irwin's office and asked for an application to go to work and says, I'm a plumber. And by golly, Tex Noy was hired by Don Irwin as a plumber. So I was the next young applicant in there, and I asked for, of course, a job in the storage department. And he says, we have 35 men working in this department. We do not need another man. And I said, well, I've had about 7 years of experience in the grocery store, merchandising, and I think I have a little to offer. And he says, well, I've got 35 men working there. They don't have that much experience all put together, but we don't need another man. I said, Mr. Irwin, I hate to go back down to Anchorage without a job. Please, don't you have something to offer me? He looked at me and he says, "Say, you know, you look like a very fine young man. By golly, you have just what I think we need up in this valley, and I think you have something that we could use in our family." By golly, he says, "I have a daughter. She's just about your age, probably a little younger. But by golly, she's quite a problem. Kind of wild." And he said, "You know what? If you'll take her off my hands, I'll give you a job." I went to work. The first job I had in that Muskogee Valley with 208 families representing 1,000 people was grinding hamburger and grinding it by hand. And believe me, that was a job. But anyway, I stuck with the work, and by golly, Don Irwin took pretty good care of me. And I finally wound up being the entire manager for the entire storage department for the Colony Project. But along with it, about 2 years later, got a hold of me and he says, "Son, you're not fulfilling your obligation." And he says, "You know, we made a deal, and I think it's time that we come to a conclusion." So, on September the 16th, 1937, we were married. And for a wedding present, he gave me a 30-30 Savage rifle. And he says, "Now, if she doesn't behave, shoot her." I'd like to give you my wife's gun.
Unfair, don't you? You know, I just want to tell you that this has been a great convention. Coming here when I didn't exactly know who all would be here, there were a lot of people came that I wasn't expecting. How nice. On behalf of Auxiliary Number 4, of which I am president, and also on behalf of Igloo Number 15, who Rob Berg is also the president, but he had to leave, I would like to thank you for such a nice convention. I hope if we have the convention shortly, we will be able to do as well as you have. And in the meantime, I'm going to take my husband aside, and it's going to cost him something.
It's always fair. She gets in the last word. But still, I want you to know that 30-30 rifle is still in my gun rack and heavily fired. I had something else on my mind.
But that was enough.
I think there was a gentleman that came to the roster and asked to make an announcement about. Do we have a gentleman? No?
There he is.
Can you make it? Come forward, please. Told you about the ashtrays, and okay, we got all of that. All these notes, Brad, I need for you, and I'm trying to answer every one of them. I'd like to, while we're waiting for the gentleman to come forward, I'd like to introduce, everyone knows Ed Dodd, who is on the Pioneer Board and is doing such a tremendous job for the Pioneers. Just once again, Ed, will you please rise with them? There he is, right down here. There's Brother Ed Dodd. Thank you, Ed. We have our representative for Alaska, for one of the representatives with us, Edward Barlow. Please rise. Edward Abiles. And everybody have others? Our gentleman, please, forward.
Sisters and brothers of the Pioneers, I wish to introduce to you a cook for the evening. I think everybody enjoyed that food that you had, and I want to introduce you to the chief cook for the evening. It's Mrs. Miller.
Thank you, Mrs. Miller. I had a remark down here that Saudi Club for the acting as the food servers and so on for this evening. I hope everything will take care of that remark. Without further fanfare, without further notes, Brad, if I haven't finished everything that you thought of, please forgive me.
Too
down.
But I'm going to get on with the main speaker of the evening, and it's a little past what I figured, but anyway, I'd like to make for the introduction of our Senator, U.S. Senator Ted Stevens. U.S. Senator Ted Stevens, Alaska Senior Senator, first came to Alaska in 1952 from Washington, D.C. He served as U.S. Attorney in Fairbanks from 1953 to 1956. In 1956, he returned to Washington, D.C. to become the Alaska liaison to the Department of the Interior. In 1958, Ted became an assistant to the Secretary of the Interior, Fred Seaton, who drafted the legislation for the Alaska Statehood Act and later was appointed solicitor for the Department of the Interior. In 1960, Ted returned to Anchorage to go into private practice, law practice. He was elected to the State House of Representatives in 1964 and again in 1966. During his second term, he was a majority leader and speaker pro tem. Wally Hickel appointed him to the U.S. Senate in 1968 to fill the seat vacated by the death of Bob Bartlett and was elected to that position in 1970. He was reelected to his first full term in 1972. During this time, he sponsored several pieces of legislation of special interest to our older pioneers. One was the Senate Bill 50, which extends the Older Americans Act of 1965 and seeks to provide comprehensive programs in health, education, and social services for older citizens and sets up administration on aging. He also sponsored Senate Bill 1188, which is the American Folk Life Preservation Act, which establishes the Folk Life Center in the Library of Congress and recognizes the uniqueness of the American people, their cultural differences in desires, beliefs, and character. Probably most important to you directly was Senate Bill 1105, which established income tax incentives for modernizations of buildings and transportation services to remove barriers such as steps and et cetera for the handicapped and elderly. Senator Stevens lives with his wife Ann and five teenage children in Maryland, but also maintains their Anchorage home. Incidentally, Ann has recently taken an automobile mechanics course, so additional to household duties, we have a mechanic in the household. We give you now the Honorable U.S. Senator Ted Stevens.
Thank you all very much. Thank you all very much, and thank you, Lewis. I hope that Estella treats you kindly on the way home. And I'm most pleased to be here with my old friend, Senator Howard Bradshaw, and appreciate the respect you've shown for him here tonight, Lewis. Retiring Grand President Patrick Lloyd, incoming President Axel Edmund, Sitka Pioneer Presidents Mrs. Lillian Bart and Hans Waldenhog, and distinguished guests. I want to thank you for honoring the office I hold by inviting me to address this 58th session of the Grand Igloo of the Pioneers of Alaska. Alaskans appreciate the strength, heritage, and continuing work of the Pioneers of Alaska. I have come to know many of you well, and I'm most happy to see you here tonight. Believe me, as Alaska's senior senator, I have appreciated your friendship and the cooperation that I and those who have worked with me in Washington have always received from the igloos and the auxiliaries throughout our state. Some of you sitting here this evening came to this country during the early gold stampedes. Many of you are the sons and daughters of Klondikers who packed their year's supply of food and equipment over the Chilkoot, built boats on the Canadian side, and then went down the lakes in the Yukon when the ice went out in the spring of '98. Some of you are later day pioneers, coming to Alaska with the gold fever. Some came with the Alaska Railroad when it was being pioneered. Others were born out of pioneer stock in southeastern Alaska and have lived and prospered here. I suspect some of you here in the Sitka area can trace your pioneer heritage back to the Russian days. Whatever your heritage, whatever your background,
Alaskans feel that you are members of a very elite group. Webster defines a pioneer as one of those who first enter or settle a region, thus opening it to occupation and development by others. My friends, you who are pioneers, there is still much pioneering to be accomplished in Alaska. The Arctic region is a prime example. Many of you knew Bill Foran. In the 1920s, he led geological parties into the Arctic to map possible oil structures and to investigate reported oil seepages. His efforts contributed to our present oil development. Others followed him, men like John Reed, whom I work with now in Washington. He's with the Arctic Institute of North America, as you know. He has spent his life researching the geology of Alaska. Men like Commander Bill Rocks and Commander Bart Gillespie, who led the Navy Seabees to the Arctic in 1944 to begin oil exploration. Men and women now working in isolated pipeline camps are also pioneers. The term pioneering is a relative one which can be applied to many different periods of Alaska in our development. Consider, for instance, the pioneers of aviation, and I think much of this as a former pilot. You know many of the early birds in the flying business here in Alaska. There are a couple in Western Alaska who have gone on with their flying with little notice or fanfare. One is John Cross of Kotzebue, now 79. Another is Vern Bookwalter of Nome. He'll be 82 next month. Both of these aviation pioneers learned to fly the old Jennies in 1918 and 1919. Both still hold private licenses and continue to fly. They, along with the Reeves, the Weens, the Whaleys, Sam White, and many others, opened the way for Alaskan development. There are pioneers in all phases of Alaska life, including government. Men like Wickersham, Bob Bartlett, Ernest Greening, and Tony Diamond. Some of you remember Governor George Parks when he first came to Alaska in 1907, working with the Interior Department. For 8 years, he served this state well as territorial governor, and George Parks is still very much living as a pioneer in Alaska. I had the pleasure and the opportunity to work with Bob Bartlett when I was in Fairbanks, and then later when I was a solicitor for the Interior Department during the statehood days. I was fortunate to work with Bob on his greatest dream in the battle for statehood. After 14 years as Alaska's only delegate to Congress, Bob saw this dream materialize. I have sent the many pioneers copies of the book containing the proceedings of the Bartlett statue delegation. We're entitled to two statues in Washington. We have but one, and that is of Bob Bartlett. Whitey Bartlett and I have sent these to many people throughout the state, and we have some here today. For those of you who did not get them, they're in the back of the room, and I hope those of you interested in this a copy of the book that was prepared by the United States Senate following the dedication of the Bartlett statue will take them with you if you like. Some of you may know Mary Lee Council, Senator Bartlett's administrative assistant for many years. She has recently completed a biography on Senator Bartlett, and another one is being written by Klaus Nasky. And I hope that they will be successful and that you will enjoy them. In the 2 years we have now before our 200th birthday, there will be much to be done. Americans all over this country will be polishing up the relics of the past, recreating historic events, building mementos and monuments of the past. I hope that you share my interest in establishing the Klondike National Park as one of our bicentennial projects for Alaska. This park would be quite unique, and there I have a bill before Congress to create it. It would create really a series of parks, starting in Seattle with a suitable building site there dedicated to the thousands of stampeders who headed north in 97 and 98. Another spot in the park will be in Juneau. Skagway, of course, will be a most significant and important location in the park. Hopefully the Chilkoot Trail can be designated as one of the important links in the proposed park. There are many, many remaining relics of Alaska's early days, and I feel that this park will help provide the protection that these treasures of our heritage need. There are other projects that you may be interested in. Recently, the Senate has passed my bill to return the Alaska territorial records to our state archives. These records are presently in the Federal Archives and Records Center in Seattle.
The records cover the period between 1884 and 1958, and I believe they are ours. I have introduced this legislation, as I said. It has passed the Senate. The records belong here in Alaska and not in Seattle. The companion measure to this bill of mine was introduced in the House by Congressman Young, and I believe that the House will act on Congressman Young's bill before we recess in December. Next year will be the 50th anniversary of the famous Mercy Run by the dog team to know, the run that carried the diphtheria immunization serum. I have requested the Post Office Department to issue a commemorative stamp marking that important chapter in Alaska's history. And I've wondered recently whether any of those dog sled drivers are still living. I know many of you may know them, and many of you may know those who participated in that trip. I hope you'll let my office know if you know any of the people that were involved in either driving the dog teams or working with them, because when the stamp is issued, we want to honor them for that very significant achievement in Alaska's history. Many of our pioneers, especially in Fairbanks and Anchorage, are faced with a very real problem now of finding adequate housing at reasonable cost. The Housing and Community Development Act of 1974 recently provided for the reenactment of the direct loan program for elderly and handicapped housing. This program has been remarkably free of the default problems that have been associated with other programs. The Senate Appropriations Committee, on which I serve, recently approved an increase of $600 million for the Mortgage Trust Fund to provide financing for senior citizens and the handicapped. This will make a total of $800 million available this year. Last week, I met with the officials of the Department of the Housing and Urban Development, we call it HUD in Washington, regarding the proposed housing programs for the elderly in Juneau and Ketchikan. As a result of that meeting, Ketchikan will be receiving an additional 24 units of senior citizen housing and 76 units for low-income family housing. In order for this program to be approved, however, the Alaska State Housing Authority must assure the Department of Housing and Urban Development that the total development cost per unit in Alaska will not exceed $60,000. And let me repeat that again. We have to assure the government that these units will not exceed $60,000. Throughout the United States, the cost averages $27,000. So the figure that HUD has allowed for Alaska housing for the elderly is twice the national average. I think this is a recognition of the problems of our state and the high cost that's associated with the pipeline boom we're in now. I hope that the Juneau housing program, which would provide 42 units for the elderly and an additional 80 low-income family homes, will also be approved soon. Let me talk to you just a minute about the impact of inflation, which I know has been felt by all and which the President has addressed recently. Few have been so severely hit as those retired persons living on fixed incomes. In the past, we have tried to obtain a cost of living increase for Social Security benefits for Alaskans. We've not been successful yet in that, but we have been successful in getting the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare to disregard the longevity bonus of $100 a month when determining income for the purposes of the Supplemental Security Income Program. And the Department of Agriculture is now working on my request to disregard the longevity bonus from income when considering food stamp applications from senior citizens in Alaska. Legislation has also been introduced in the Senate which would phase out the earnings test provision in the Social Security laws. This requirement places a limit of $2,400 on the income a person may earn and still receive full Social Security benefits. I have long felt that this is a most unrealistic requirement, as there is no limit on the amount of unearned income from stocks and bonds and the like that a person may receive and still retain the full Social Security benefits. I see no reason why income should be different when people earn it than when it's received from investments. And I'm hopeful and I believe that Congress will increase that limit, that present limit of $2,400, before we adjourn in December. Federal programs for senior citizens are focused mainly in the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, and in the ACTION program. And many Alaskan communities now have programs funded through the Older American Act, Older Americans Act. Title III of that act grants funds to use for in support of the state and community programs that provide social services and fund model projects for the elderly. Title VII funds the nutrition programs that are now serving an estimated 200,000 meals per day, 5 days a week, under the Meals on Wheels program. Some 13% of these meals are served to the homes of shut-ins. And I am now working on another bill, which I think should be passed, and that is one to provide some type of transportation for the elderly and the handicapped who are still able to prepare their own meals but have a very difficult time going to supermarkets and handling transportation in the urban centers of America. The Department of Agriculture has agreed to provide surplus commodities under the Older Americans program, and this will go into the actual program dollars and make the program go further. ACTION, I'm sure you realize, is just the reverse of the Department of HEW. Instead of providing services to the senior citizens, ACTION tries to involve the very skills of the senior citizens that they have developed through their years in programs such as the Foster Grandparents, the Service Corps of Retired Executives, and the Older American Community Service Volunteer Program. Those of us in the department, in the Appropriations Subcommittee, and those in the Department of HEW and the federal government who work with the program are most encouraged with the response of our senior citizens to these programs. This year, we will fund these programs, which are volunteer programs, at a level of about $15 to $20 million, more than last year, in order to encourage greater participation of our senior citizens in these very significant programs. Let me say, we are now working on the agenda for the next Congress. And some of my friends forget that I'm not up for election this year and won't have to run again until 1978. So we're using the election period to start planning ahead. And I would like to have you help me if you have any ideas that you think we could use as we formulate these new programs to deal with senior citizens and with programs such as ACTION. I would urge you to write to us and give us your ideas. The idea, for instance, for the mobile transport for those people who want to help themselves and want to do their own shopping came from an Alaska senior citizen, and I think it will be an adjunct soon of the Meals on Wheels program. You can help me try to represent all of Alaska.